with BookBeat. I'm Don Swaim. Edward DeGrazia, author of Girls Lean Back Everywhere, The Laws of Obscenity and the Assault on Genius, says one of the early victims of turn-of-the-century censorship was a woman named Ida Craddock,
who committed suicide rather than go back to prison for publishing alleged obscenity. She had written a booklet, Advice to the Bridegroom, and Anthony Comstock, he was in his heyday, and he saw that she was prosecuted both in the federal court and the state court.
Who was Anthony Comstock?
He was the founder of the New York Society for the Suppression of Vice. And that society, in the beginning, had powers of arrest and seizure.
Anthony Comstock was also an agent of the post office.
He had the authority, or at least he exerted the authority, of opening mail and seizing anything from the mail that he thought was obscene. They also had, by law, the right to half the fines that were levied against anyone who was convicted under the obscenity laws.
Edward DeGrazia says the specter of Anthony Comstock exists today in a certain Bible Belt preacher, Donald Wildman.
Donald Wildman is an evangelical minister who is the founder of the American Family Association, and he and his group create tremendous pressures.
Edward DeGrazia's story of censorship in the arts is Girls Lean Back Everywhere, published by Random House. Don Swaim, News Radio 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.
As late as the late 40s and early 50s in this country, we still had a formidable institutions threatening the freedom of publishers and authors.
That's First Amendment lawyer Edward DeGrazia. In his book, Girls Lean Back Everywhere, DeGrazia tells us about a censorship vigilante named John Sumner, who replaced Anthony Comstock as head of the New York Society for the Suppression of Vice.
As late as 1946... John Sumner succeeded in totally suppressing a great novel by Edmund Wilson called Memoirs of Hecate County.
At one time, DeGrazia's own book would have been targeted by the censors. In it, he includes excerpts from some of the books the censors were offended by. William Burroughs' Naked Lunch, for example.
Even though this was one of the last books to be attacked in this country in the 60s, it is still extremely shocking language.
As a lawyer, DeGrazia was in the forefront of efforts to free literature from the censor. He started by representing Barney Ross, publisher of Grove Press.
He's the only publisher, I think, brave enough to publish Lady Chatterley's Lover, unexpurgated, in 1959. The only publisher in the country brave enough to publish Henry Miller's Tropic of Cancer. Only publisher in the country brave enough to publish William Burroughs' Naked Lunch.
For the most part, the battle to overcome censorship of the arts has been successful, and Edward DeGrazia tells us about it in Girls Lean Back Everywhere, published by Random House. Don Swaim, News Radio 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.
We have a lot of ambivalence about sex and the expression of sex and fears of the printed word also.
Edward DeGrazia, the lawyer who freed such books as Tropic of Cancer and Naked Lunch. He's the author of Girls Lean Back Everywhere, The Law of Obscenity and the Assault on Genius. DeGrazia says would-be censors are motivated by a number of impulses.
For them, these words, these ideas, these images, these sexual images and ideas are threatening. They're frightening. They make them angry because of their own personal, psychological, emotional, and cultural makeup.
Almost all censorship efforts have been related to sexuality and language pertaining to sex, even though America is a nation battered and bleeding from violent images everywhere.
Attempts have been made from time to time to try to create a censorship of violence as well as a censorship of sex. It's got nowhere.
DeGrazia believes Americans tolerate violence because of a frontier mentality.
Violence is really respected in this country in a way that sex isn't.
Edward DeGrazia explores the mind of the censor and recounts some of the great court cases that led to the liberation of the printed word in Girls Lean Back Everywhere, published by Random House. In the 1920s, the censors suppressed James Joyce's Ulysses, in part for a passage in which a man is aroused by a woman who leans back on a swing. The editor of the Little Review remarked, "Girls lean back everywhere, showing lace and silk stockings." Don Swaim, News Radio 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. First Amendment lawyer Edward DeGrazia is the author of Girls Lean Back Everywhere, which examines the impact of obscenity laws on literature.
Justice William J. Brennan, Jr., who recently retired from the court, is the hero of my book, and really the hero of the liberation of literature and art.
In 1957, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in a case involving an accused pornographer, Sam Roth. In the decision, Justice Brennan, for the first time, applied First Amendment protection to the arts.
Up until this decision, the First Amendment was considered by the courts and by the people generally to consist only in protection of political ideas.
Even though Sam Roth lost the case and went to prison, the way was paved for literary freedom.
From that modest and quiet beginning, Brennan sowed a almost invisible revolution which resulted virtually in the liberation of the printed word.
Once, all a censor had to do to suppress a book was to cite certain objectionable passages, but Brennan decided the work must be considered as a whole. A judge in Cincinnati recently tried to defy the Brennan doctrine by ordering a jury to consider only a few objectionable photographs in the Robert Mapplethorpe exhibit.
The Brennan doctrine that if it's art, it's got to be protected and it cannot be obscene. That doctrine held strong even in the Cincinnati case, even under these pressures.
Edward DeGrazia writes of the struggle for literary freedom in Girls Lean Back Everywhere, published by Random House. Don Swaim, News Radio 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Edward DeGrazia, the First Amendment lawyer whose trial work helped to reverse the nation's censorship laws, started writing a study of censorship in literature a couple of years ago. At the time, he felt good about the advances in literary freedom.
The printed word and literature had really been liberated, and I'd played a role in that liberation.
Then came an explosion of attacks on performance artists, musicians, and graphic artists who deal with sexual and religious matters much differently from writers.
And they are in very serious danger now. It's particularly worrisome that we have the Supreme Court that we have today. Everyone acknowledges that it's dominated by conservatives.
The censors have expanded child pornography laws under the guise of curbing child abuse, even though the depiction of a nude child is not in itself necessarily pornographic.
There's been some horrendous activity going on in the prosecution or threatening of prosecution of fine art photographers who work with children and who photograph them nude or half-nude or semi-nude.
Random House published Edward DeGrazia's book, Girls Lean Back Everywhere. DeGrazia says Americans must be more than vigilant in protecting their First Amendment rights.
You have to get active. You have to fight this. You have to help and support artists and writers and publishers and museum curators and everyone who is trying to defend the rights of artists and writers to continue to create.
Don Swaim, News Radio 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.